Blog Talk Radio. Disgrace, embarrassment, disgrace, embarrassment, degradation, guilt, self-reproach, stigma, shame. To be shameful, scared to be naked. I want you to be shameless. I want you to be shameful. I want you to be naked. So she's shameful, so she fakes it. Taught to be shameful, scared to be naked. I want you to be shameless. I want you to be shameless. I want you to be naked. His story tells us she's so shameful. He bit the apple, now women are to blame for all the painful things childbirth sows to bring. Heck of a recipe, separate blood from her veins, huh? Before she can grow up, she's taught to cover it up, her breast and her butt, but her body she's never touched. How then is she supposed to breathe love? Now picture this picture. From day one, the girl's taught it's her fault from scripture. Scolded to live holy, told that the world is cold, and quick to call your hoes, B. She takes it in holy. You'd call it issues, but that's where them holes be. And she's so shameful. Scarred so deep, it's hard to seek a name for it. Shameful, so she fakes it. Taught to be shameful, scared to be naked. I want you to be shameless. I want you to be shameless. I want you to be naked. So she's shameful, so she fakes it. Taught to be shameful, scared to be naked. I want you to be shameless. I want you to be shameless. I want you to be naked. Elder ladies call her crazy. Says she won't amount to Nathan. Girl, quit that gyrating. Looking like a child of Satan. What's wrong with this generation? She pours a libation. Her pores got scores of Kundalini vibration. No sex education, just assumptions and misinformation. Her mama can't fade it, so she calls her fast. Blinks the size of her ass like she could change that. The way she is shaped, it's not a mistake. Give that girl a break. Mama, you be the cassette tape. Record, play, self-hate, or celebrate. Mama, you be the cassette tape. Record, play, self-hate, or celebrate. This not just for the ghetto, ratchet, rose petals. This be for the girls with degrees and those metals. Oh, you're so college educated, huh? But don't be disillusioned, baby. because the truth behind your business suit, you be ratchet, remix, you just tamed it. So let's change our language. Another sister's pain is the same as my anguish. Let's strip the bandage, shed it, naked, not gonna fake it, cause now I am shameless.
Peace, peace, peace. Hello, hello, hello.
Greetings.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Talk to Me Tuesdays with the cast of Her, the New Queen. Ladies, how y'all doing?
Doing good.
Wonderful.
Good, 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 good. So for everyone who is listening, our podcast today, our topic is called Shameless or Shamelessness. And we're really excited to be here talking with you all. First off, this is Hip Hop Mama, a.k.a. Princess Best Speaks. And on live, you are speaking with the ladies of Her, the New Queen, Amber Posey, Crystal Roberts, Kidess, and I don't want to do her last name wrong, Kiddest. And I don't know if we're going to be joined by Jasmine, but she's here in spirit. So you just listened to the song Shameless that speaks a lot about the idea of shame, and our topic is shame today, or shamelessness. And September is the national month for shamelessness, or no shame in September. So, ladies, how y'all feeling? How's everybody doing today?
I'm good. Doing great. This is Amber. All is well.
Cool.
Appreciate this opportunity to connect with everyone and my queens.
Cool. All right. So before we get started with our questions, we just want to do a round robin about the when you first think of the word shame, what's the first thing that comes to mind? So I'll start, and then we can go in age order. Yeah.
Yeah.
So when I think shame, I think embarrassment.
When I think shame, I actually think of a movement more so, like covering your face. You don't want to be seen.
I was going to say something similar to like hiding, but with that, I think of fear. Disgust. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can. Sure. Yes, you can.
Okay. I didn't know. I guess I associate it with some form of kind of a disgust, but ignorance, a lack of knowledge.
Okay, ignorance, lack of knowledge. Okay, so for those of you all who all are listening in, we are going to have a segment where you all will be able to ask the cast questions. Also, if you are logged on online on Blog Talk Radio / HTNK 2015, you can join us in the chat room to leave us questions as we begin the conversation. If you'd like to ask a particular question or share a story, please do so. All right, so we're just going to jump right into this, ladies. Our first question is, name a time where you felt shameful. So I was thinking about this question before we got on the podcast, and the first thing that I thought of was kind of going back to girlhood, or really in college, and I thought about contracting a sexually transmitted disease. And I've talked with young girls about this very same situation, and it's really crazy because I remember being – I think I was 19, maybe I was 18, and I didn't really know anything about, not too much about my own body or any of that to even know what dis-ease even means. But I definitely remember feeling, even though I had a boyfriend, even though I was in a relationship, feeling definite deep shame, because there's all this shame wrapped around if you yourself, you know, contract a disease, then you somehow caused it. You're the blame. You're the nasty person. You're whatever, you know. And so I remember definitely feeling dirty, disgusting, and you know, not feeling like my complete self. And when I think about that, I just think about other girls who have been in that situation, in college or in high school, and feel like they don't have any person to talk to about it, because the first thing that they think of is that they'll be shamed. So that's my thought on that. Does anybody want to add to that about a time when you felt shameful, or any comment on that?
This is Amber. I would like to share something as well. In line with what you were saying, Princess, I felt the same situation of shame. But I think for me at the time when I was feeling that, I didn't have the dialogue or even the words to name that feeling. I just felt bad. And as I got more information and more knowledge regarding, you know, the process of something happening, and then certain perceptions being attached to it, whether they're my own or people from around me, just trying to juggle all that and then kind of balance that shame with how do I find value still within myself, within this situation? Is there even value for myself within the situation? So trying to find a place where I can really clearly define, you know, what shame is and how to navigate through that is definitely something that I've learned now. But back when I was going through situations of shame, whether it was around getting a diagnosis that you weren't really happy about, or getting a grade that was disproving to someone, or wearing clothes that were dirty for the third day in a row, whatever the situation is, just having the knowledge of that actually being the situation, and then learning to find a way in which there can be some mechanisms to help with that shame is definitely what we aim to do, but we may not necessarily have the tools to do so. We're just kind of in the shame. So
right.
I definitely resonate with what you said.
Yeah. Well, so, go ahead,
Kenneth. No, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
This is Giddis, by the way, and kind of talking about the college experience. For me, the first time I felt shame was in, actually, surprisingly, my women's studies class, when we were working on a project on FGM, or, you know, female circumcision. And it was part shame, part shaming. It was something that happens within my culture, and something that has happened within some of the older generation of my family. And these American girls that I was working with were kind of talking about it as if, like, how gross, how disgusting, how can they do this to themselves? And I was on the same boat with them, like, how can they do this? But at the same time, feeling ashamed, because that's something that has happened in my, you know, line of I guess, you know, my family. And it was kind of one of those things where, like, I was shaming, but I was feeling ashamed at the same time. So it was this very conflicting thing that I had to actually ended up writing it out. But that was one vivid memory of mine from college on shaming.
Okay. Cool. Crystal, did you want to add anything to that?
Yeah, sure. There's been plenty of times that I felt shame. And even, to be honest with you guys, recently, I go through, you know, these mind battles in my mind, like, what's right by Crystal standards, what's right by the world standards, what's right spiritually, what's right this, what's right that. So I have all these thoughts and conflicting thoughts, and I map them out or I think them out, and it's always a shame associated with it. One time in particular, I think I shared this story with you guys before, but I was addicted to masturbation and pornography, and that in and of itself for me brought shame. So I was in church, and I was asked to preach and get up and preach, and it was so hard for me to come up in front of everybody and tell them, you know, what I struggle with, and I felt
right.
shame behind that, shame behind the acting, and shame behind even getting up and speaking it. And then I got up and I said something, and then recently I got a call from some people, some kids in my church, and they were like making fun of the situation, and making fun of it, and that brought shame. You know, like it was all
right.
these battles. So I just, to be honest with you guys, yeah, there's been times. In the past, times in the present, and hopefully not, but I can say honestly, probably times in the future where shame with the situation. And with me, it comes personally. It's like in my mind. That's something that I deal with daily. So, yeah.
Yeah. Well, thank you all for sharing those stories. And I think that what's really powerful about sharing that is while, you know, our stories have like similarities and differences, just the fact that, one, in this first question, you know, we're going really deep, you know what I mean? And I think that speaks to a level of, you know, us getting to places within our, as we go through our womanhood about attacking shame. And also,
yes.
too, about kind of not just being so cutesy about it, you know, like not, you know what I mean? Because it's like,
right.
You know, you ask a person if they feel shameful, you know, and they might try to go to the lightest thing, you know, like and not really deal with something that's really hurtful or, you know, I mean, we're talking live on air, you know what I mean? So to be able to share these things is not only brave, but I think that it helps people to combat, you know, some of the things that at one point maybe were seen as, you know what I'm saying, seen as taboo. So thank y'all for sharing. If you're just tuning in, this is Talk to Me Tuesdays. You're listening to the cast of Her, the New Queen, and I'm just so excited to talk with you all. Earlier this year, we did our production, and it was a devised production and a very cool process to come and meet these wonderful sisters and come together in sisterhood. And so our topic today is shamelessness, September being the month of no shame. So Amber, I'm going to pose this next question to you, and then anybody else can, you know, can fill in if they like. How do you cope with shame? Do you have one particular way that you cope with shame?
Yes and no. And I'll be quite honest. I will say that in my family, shame seems to be a norm for me, and especially with a lot of people that I'm closely connected with, and shame around many different things. Specifically, though, it's something that I'm not comfortable with dealing with in a positive way. I'll be honest, I haven't found a way to positively cope with it on a consistent basis. Sometimes I'll, like, read an article or I'll hear an interview or something, and somebody will give me something that I can use. Case in point, there was a time, I think I shared with you all last week, where I was really dealing with some anger and some unforgiveness regarding my parents. They're just, you know, things that I wanted to get answers with regarding their divorce and, you know, why did you decide to divorce, and there's shame in the family around that because nobody gets divorced in my family. So it's like I feel eyes kind of looking at me like, well, you know, is this your fault? What did you do? Why aren't your parents together? All these different questions that I don't have answers to, and I feel shameful because I should. And I also feel shame from them regarding that. So in a situation where I feel shame, I just sit in it. And I remember more recently I was sitting for like 2 hours in silence, just like really trying to find the energy to look outside of the negative tapes that kept playing on circulation in my head, like, you know, what are you doing? Why is this happening to you? You know, those questions that you really can't have any answers. Well, really any answers at the time anyway, that can really be helpful for you. So I personally haven't learned really to effectively deal with shame, but I have heard one of my sisters say that in reference to her dealing with shame, she kind of compartmentalizes it. She puts it in a box. She separates mm-hmm. her feelings, and she separates time in her schedule to deal with whatever shameful things she's dealt with within the day or within the week or even the month, depending on her schedule. So I haven't actually implemented that, but the way that she described that process allowed for her to find some space to really, you know, spend some time with whatever it is that she feels shame about, and then effectively, you know, look at it, like, well, where is the shame coming from? Is it something that I can control? Is it really my fault? Am I carrying other people's things? You know, asking those kind of questions to really get an idea about where the shame is coming from. So I imagine that is definitely effective for her. I haven't implemented it, but I would be curious to know what you all, how you all have coped with shame in the past as well.
Well, it's interesting that you said that, because this thing that I posted on Instagram earlier today was a quote that I read this morning that said, the best thing one can do when it's raining is to let it rain. And when you said, you know, it's funny when you don't have a mechanism for coping, but I guess you said you sit in it. And so while some people, you might not think that that's an actual coping mechanism, sometimes to sit in it is the coping mechanism, right? Like sometimes it's just that, you know, sometimes there's no way to get, you know, to get to that other side. You actually just have to, you know, you have to experience it and go through it. So sitting in the shame might bring you to, you know, might bring you to another place. Kittis and Crystal, do you all have any other ways that you cope with shame or that you've dealt with it head on?
Well, for me, I don't feel like I have an answer to that. Like, I don't think if it's an answer, it's not a quote unquote right answer. In the past or in the future, well, in the past or present, when I have had shame, I cry. You know, like it affects me. I wish I could say that, you know, what people say or how people feel or think didn't, but sometimes it does. It has an effect on me. So the shame that I receive, and sometimes it could just be self-inflicted or coming from my own mind, my own thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
I'll sit and I'll think about it, and sometimes I'll cry about it. Or another thing that I notice that I do sometimes is as I put it to the back burner. So not so much as where I say I'm put it away and I'm gonna make time to think about it later. I'll put it away and I don't think about it. You know, I just keep moving. Not really addressing the issue, which I don't think is healthy in and of itself. But yeah, I don't necessarily have a coping mechanism, I think, to deal with shame that I received. How about you, Kadesh? Do you have anything?
No, actually, like I mentioned earlier, if I can get out of it, then I definitely write. But usually, if I'm ashamed of something, it's kind of a bad thing. But for me, that I just go through it. I kind of shame myself as well, which isn't a good thing. But I kind of sit in it. Like Amber was talking about, I kind of have to just sit in it, and it's going to keep replaying over and over in my head until I can find it in myself to, in a way, forgive myself for it or, you know, just push past it. But usually writing mm-hmm. helps.
Okay. So what I'm taking from all of what you all said, so here we have some coping mechanisms. One is to sit and go through it. One is to write. Right? And then there's some taking sort of ownership for it, right? And then I guess that brings up the question of, you know, feeling when you're feeling shame in terms of is that your own feeling or is that a projected feeling? Like, is that a feeling that, mm-hmm. you know, someone else put on you? So, you know, we'll talk about that in a little bit because I think that the play itself, going back to Her the New Queen, when we did this experience, I think it sort of allowed us to deal with that, right? Like allowed us to deal a little bit with, you know, those things that you sort of keep, you know, and you actually have more coping mechanisms than you actually think you do. You know, you might have internalized them as though you're not coping or you're not handling it well, yet you were still handling it. So you got to give yourself, you know, give yourself some credit. So this next question is for Crystal. Have you seen shame worked out in a positive way? Have you ever seen shame worked out in a positive way?
I guess that to me is a little subjective because it all depends on your definition of shame. So I think, in essence, I would say yes and no. Majority no, but a time where I could say maybe was a good way. I think I don't remember the exact details of the story, but I remember one guy saying, "Have you no shame?" And basically, he was saying to somebody who I guess wasn't presentable enough, I think they like passed gas in front of somebody, or they were just really like being rude or something. I don't know. They were rude, or they were passing gas, or they were eating, you know. And the guy said, "Have you no shame?" And so him saying like, "I have enough shame to whereas I won't do this, or I think something of myself that I know it'll be shameful if I disrespect these people like this. So I won't do it because I have shame." So in a sense like that, I guess that's a positive way, because when he said it, "Have you no shame," in yourself or in the situation or whatever, it caused the person to maybe cover their mouth or say "excuse me," or you know, be a little more respectful in the environment. But the majority of times, so that was like one incident. I guess I can say that's a positive. Like I've seen it work in a positive way because you know, caused the guy to be respectful. Just in third, and another way, I don't know. I think if anything, when you add shame to a situation or a shame, you get it. It's negative. You know, I think I said it. You hide or you run. You know, the things associated with it. And for me, I don't think I've seen it positive. I've seen it more negative than I have positive, to answer that question.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And so when we think about having done the play, what do you think are some ways, and this is just up for anybody, some ways that the play actually helped liberate the audience from from shame that they might have been holding? You know, what sorts of things in going through the journey of Queens do you feel like, in talking with people who saw the production, like, who, you know, how do you feel that they were liberated? I know there were some posts online about what people thought. So how do you think that people were liberated by seeing the production in terms of shame?
Go ahead, Kenneth.
Are you sure?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. I feel as though that some things that were touched on or talked about allowed people to feel as though they're not alone in certain things that they feel as though they need to be ashamed of, or that they need to hide away, or they need to like be in secret about. And I felt like a lot of the topics that we talked about in the show gave people the platform or the courage to speak out on it and not feel like it's something that to be ashamed of or to be, you know, putting themselves down on.
Like, give me one specific thing, so that way, you know, for people who are listening.
Okay. For starters, one of the things that actually ended up touching both audiences the times that we had both performances was the relationship with fathers. For some people, that can be, you know, something to be ashamed of, like, well, you know, supposed to have a good relationship and so on and so forth, but if it's, and even though this is kind of a norm, but even, unfortunately, but so by us speaking on it and by us touching on bases like, oh, I may have a good relationship with my dad, or I may have this, but because I do this, it's not very healthy. For example, sorry, I know I'm not
go into details, but having a good relation, one of the things we talked about was enabling parents or enabling the people around us that we love. That, to some people, can be something that they're not that much proud of. I know for me, it's something that I wish I could work on. But hearing people in the audience talking about it and, you know, not normalizing it, but saying that it's not something that a person goes through alone was kind of encouraging. And it's like, okay, well, I guess it's not something to be ashamed of. It's something that you can seek out or just talk to someone about it, and it's not as terrible as you had put it in your head.
Okay.
Am I making sense?
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Amber, you wanted to say something?
Yes, I wanted to also speak about the fathers as well, and then also about periods, but I'll speak about the father piece first. For me, I was speaking to, alluding to earlier about the fact that I was angry about my parents regarding their recent divorce, and me being the oldest of three girls, I perceived that there was a lot of pressure on me to do things a certain way. The standards weren't always the same for my sisters, but for whatever reason, my dad just really had a very strong presence in my life, especially growing up regarding shaping around, you know, what girls are supposed to do and what girls are not supposed to do. So when the announcement came that my parents were no longer going to be together, it wasn't a surprise, but it was like it hit me like a ton of bricks, and I was so angry at both of them from that point on, and even to this day, I'm still very angry on some levels. But that going through the experience of Queens, especially devising the piece around Dear Daddy, I had never vocalized it on that level, and I didn't realize how angry I was at him, and that doing that piece allowed me to really start the work on, well, okay, yes, I'm very angry, and yes, you know, this has happened to me, but this is just part of my story. And then other women after the show coming up to me and saying, my dad did the same thing to me, or my dad has done something to me that had that where I had the same level of anger that you showed, and I haven't talked to him since. And this has been 10, 12, 15, 20 years ago. Like, I had three different women come up to me after the shows were over saying similar stories about my dad did this to me, my dad did that. I've never forgiven him. I can't even look at him. If he calls me, I ignore his phone calls, you know. So having the dialogue and seeing that women are very much connected to their fathers, even if they decide to discontinue the relationship for whatever reason, having a dialogue around that is very important. And it was even a lot more scary for me and important for me as well, because my dad actually came to the show. Both my parents were there. So that was scary for me because I had to say these are real feelings and I had to own them in front of him. And it took him a while for us to really have a dialogue, and we eventually did have a conversation about that. But the show really allowed me to say those things that I probably wouldn't have gotten the platform to say or the courage to say and have the support around saying to him. So that, Dear Daddy, was great. Also, the periods were great. The fact that every male got a pad was great. The fact that we had to force the dialogue, you know, and have people see and experience and hear, you know, what it is that our bodies actually go through during that time of the month. And the fact that we are responsible for giving life, and there should not be shame around that process, even though there very much is. So having the dialogue around those two major things is very important to me.
Mm-hmm. Cool. So that kind of brings us to our next question, and I think I remember Kittis sort of talking a little bit about this, is that, you know, the idea of what we think of as shame is can be very broad, and particularly in instances when we ourselves are the shamer. And, you know, so the question at hand is, when have you been the shamer, or have, you know, is there a time in your life where you've shame someone, and maybe you didn't know at the time that you shamed them, but now looking back on it, you might have thought to do it differently. And I think that this is an interesting question. This is for Kittis, and then anyone after that. I think this is a real question because, you know, I don't know about y'all, but, like, I know that because sometimes I'm a speak-first person, you know, I don't know if, you know, there probably have been some instances without knowing that I've definitely been that person, you know, unbeknownst, because we don't necessarily know how another person perceives shame. So, Kittis, have you yourself been a shamer? Ever recognized yourself as being somebody who's a shamer?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm trying to. I know. I have. I'm trying to remember of a specific time. This is so sad. I can only think of one time right now in my head, and only because Crystal was talking about the person who passed gas. I was at one of my best friends, and the lady in front of us kind of tilted to the side and just let out some. And me and the mother that was sitting there, we were kind of like, "Are you?" You know, just, of course, you know, the reaction of, "Are you serious?" And kind of like, we were still laughing about it and stuff, and I can tell that the lady was super uncomfortable and just was really embarrassed for what had happened. But I guess your intent doesn't necessarily, it doesn't matter what your intention is so long as you put somebody there. And so I do recall that one specific time. But that was the question, right? Just, have I ever been a shamer?
Yeah, like, yeah. When have you been a shamer?
And then, of course, just the specific time of the college where, you know, I was that conflict of interest of like, I'm ashamed that happens, but at the same time, it also happened during, like, my great-grandmother's age. So it was like, am I putting her to shame because of something that she was taught as a culture? And it was just, that was another one, but that wasn't necessarily as I didn't see the result as much.
Right. Okay. Anybody else ever, if you're thinking right now of a time that, you know what I mean, that you now, you think about it, you were like, I actually probably placed shame on that person, or they might have felt some type of way.
Yeah, I think I can honestly say that I have. I'm not proud to admit it, but I'm pretty sure I have a way of a lot of it's in my mind, though. A lot of it I don't verbalize, but I think, and that's, to me, I think it's just as guilty as not saying it, because you don't verbalize it, but it comes out in other ways. So I don't physically say, I don't verbally say, you know, this, and the third, but it's how I interact with you, or it's how I, you know, it's how I possibly even look at you. A time in particular, I think, would be with a friend of mine, and she was going through some things, and I disagree with her lifestyle. She was opening up to me and telling me, you know, what was going on, and I don't know if it was a look on my face or what I said. I think she told me about, you know, a situation that she was in, and I said, well, I don't like that. I don't like the person, the people involved, and I was just being verbal, saying how I felt. And after, I had to, in the middle of the conversation, I had to apologize. I said, I don't want you to, you know, because at the end of the day, you know, we're friends, and I can disagree with you all day long. I still love you. And I don't want you to feel like you can't come to me about anything, you know, I'm looking at you as a friend, you know, as somebody that I love, that I care about. I want to, you know, to you to feel free and to talk to me. So in the middle of the conversation, I had to apologize to her, and I had to say, you know, I don't mean it like that. This is the intent behind the emotion, behind what I said. This is what it means behind that. Because I felt like if I didn't do that, then I, you know, she was shameful. She could have not spoken to me again, or chose not to speak to me about that particular issue. So yeah, I definitely feel like I have, like I said, something I'm not proud of. And a lot of it can be in my mind, you know, how I, if I see a situation or I may prejudge something or think it should go this way or they should do this, live their life this way. And I think about that in my head, and I bring shame to the situation. So, to answer that honestly, yes, I would say that I have been the shamer before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. When I think about what you all are saying, I think about, you know, some more, you know, a little bit kind of what you're saying, Crystal, like about, like some subtle things. And I guess these are important things for as sisters for us to kind of like, you know, for us to kind of be aware of, right? Sometimes in our speaking, I remember talking with a sister that I didn't know very well, but because I felt like I did, I was talking very freely about body shapes and about another sister that I knew that was uncomfortable with my body shape. Not really thinking anything of it, right? Like not really thinking anything of it until later. And then kind of like that whole understanding, like, wait a minute, hold up, like she felt some type of way, and I guess it kind of came out later that she felt some type of way about what I was saying, but I hadn't even, you know what I mean? Like, I was so busy talking, I hadn't even assessed, you know, who she is, how she might feel in a particular situation. And, I mean, but at the end of the day, some of those things you're not going to know, right? Like, some of those things you're not going to know. At the same time, when you do recognize it or you feel like, oh, I might have stepped on somebody's toes, you know, the appropriate, like, is what's the appropriate response, you know, as far as like, okay, I feel like, you know, if you might have meant what you said but not meant to shame the person, you know what I mean? And so it makes me think about that. So when you're saying you disagree with your friend's lifestyle but you were able to catch it, then that, you know, that also to me seems like a way to be able to address, you know what I'm saying, to address it, because then maybe that could make the difference in somebody feeling, walking away from the conversation feeling lesser about themselves, you know, if in fact they're not, you know what I mean, their concept of themselves isn't strong, or maybe feeling angry with you. So I think that that's cool to be able to recognize. Once again, if you are listening in, this is Talk to Me Tuesdays. You are talking with the cast of Her, the New Queen. If you had a chance to see the play back in March for Women's History Month, we had a great time building. And as the play grows, we aim to take it and bring it to as many places as possible to grow in the journey of girlhood and womanhood. Her, the New Queen, is put on by Diversity Theater Company. And if you want to find out more information, you make sure you go to diversitytheater.org. This is a movement. Queens is a movement. So make sure you hashtag Queens the Movement. Yeah, Queens the Movement or the New Movement. Yeah, and we're talking all about shame today. And so the next question is, Have you made shaming a career? But I guess that kind of ties into have you been the shamer? You know, I mean, making shaming a career. Maybe have you seen examples of people in, you know, making shame into a career?
Hello.
I was saying that the question is, have you made shaming into a career? But I guess to kind of preface that too, I was watching something online about are y'all familiar with Corinne Steffens?
Yes.
You said Corinne Steffens?
Superhead, right?
Yeah, Corinne Steffens. She wrote the books for Video Vixen.
And she was named, like, they called her Superhead or something.
Right. So I had been researching, just studying things about her and her life, and really was like, I would be interested to have like a sit down conversation with her, like without like cameras on and stuff like that. Because there's a lot that I had, like, you know, just that I had questions about just from reading her, you know, just from reading what I, you know, the little bit about her background. You never really know a person from a Wikipedia or a bio, but I do know that after she did these books, and I guess the whole idea was that, you know, the perception was that she put all these people on blast. And depending on who you ask, it was either very liberating or very shaming, depending on who was on the receiving end of that. And then the backlash of her as a black woman is what she's doing seen as sexual agency, you know, in that if she were a male, would she, you know, if she were a male, would she be shamed the same way for what sexual exploits? Right. So if a male was to do a tell-all book of the different women that he had intimate relationships with, would he have been met with the same shame? And so I guess when I look at that question that says, you know, have you made shaming a career? Well, who has the world? I mean, particularly when it comes to black women, who have we made a career out of shaming? Not we, as in us. But we as in society, like, who do you hear about in headlines that we've made, who we've shamed? And I say that because knowing that Corinne Steffens was abused and sexually exploited and raped, you know, when she was younger, people don't seem to put that as part of the conversation, you know?
Right. Yes, I find it interesting that there are conveniently certain pieces of the story left out so that a perception can be shaped a certain way so that shame can be had. Because I think the media is a great component about making shaming others their career. Like, you find that, like, when you were thinking about who is it that we shame, I was thinking about celebrities like, Nicki Minaj for like her butt, or even what's Kanye's wife's name? Kim Kardashian.
Kim Kardashian.
Kim Kardashian.
Right. I think black women get shame because of the body parts that are, you know, exploited or put in the media a certain way so that certain perceptions can be gained. And I think in that regard, you know, media definitely has a piece to play in shaming others. So I know that that is definitely a huge piece of shame as a career.
Mm-hmm. Anybody else?
Nope.
Okay. So
I think absolutely. You know, when you think about even go as far as like, I get food stamps, right? And so it's a lot of shame associated with that. You know, like, when people going in the stores, you know, I think all that stuff is like a career. Like, you go into the store and you have your food stamp card, and people look at you funny. You know, they think that you have, like, a lot of kids, and they put stigma associated to you. So in the black community, in general, I think there it's a lot of shame and a lot of careers being made out of it, especially if you are a certain type, if you look a certain type, or if you quote-unquote meet the statistics, or if you know what I mean, if you're what their idea of the statistic is, it's shame associated with that. And like, you know, like I said, you go into the stores and you see it when you're buying your groceries, or even, like, walking down the street, you know, with pushing babies on a car. It's a lot. I definitely agree, and I think that it can be a career made out of shaming, and not just from, and I say that, you know, not just from society. I think we, in and of ourselves, subconsciously, or if we do it on purpose, we shame each other. You know what I mean? Or we, you know, whether it's intentional or not, you know, like we see somebody walk in, and you just think, oh, you know, automatically they're this and they're that, and you just put that out in the atmosphere. And I guess it's because, you know, so many have met that need, or so many have been that, so you just assume. So I think to answer your question, as it being a career, I think that, yeah, there are plenty of careers in shaming, especially in the Black community, within with society for the Black community, and then within the Black community against the Black community. It's shame associated there.
Yeah. That's and that's real too. When you say, you just brought up a whole lot of things when you said, you know, you said food stamps or any type of government assistance, and I think that, you know, government assistance and those things are, you know, while it's a public service, the stigmas that are wrapped around them, you know, these are the things, and it's funny, Crystal, because I had a similar experience where I was receiving WIC, and for those who don't know what WIC is, it's women, infant, and children, and that in itself is interesting because they don't have a MIC, FIC, like for fathers, infant, and children, so that's also something, you know, to look at, but saying that to say, you know, if you are receiving public assistance, like, what, you know, again, it's like these ideas that are wrapped around, where do we get those concepts? Like, we got to go back historically. Like, where does the concept come from that we begin to look at each other, whether it is, you know, sex or sexuality, down to financial, where shame is sort of wrapped, you know, in race and class and historically. And I remember being in the store and needing to use a WIC check, and mm-hmm. and the lady in the line alerted all the rest of the customers that were standing behind me. They were like, and she was like, "Oh, y'all might want to go to another line because she got WIC." And
wow.
And I just remember being like, I was embarrassed because I had never been on public assistance before, not in my adulthood, but also because. But then I also was a little bit mad because I was like, first of all, how does she know that everyone in this line knows what WIC is? That's number one. Two, why would that not be something personal that you do not disclose? So I was really like, whoa, how do I address this, you know, because it all happened so quickly. And so when I think about that, I know we're running down on time, and so I want to get a few things in, but when I think about that, I want to address sort of the historical perspective of how, you know, shame gets passed down.
Yeah.
And I guess this is a question to everyone. What ways right now are you shaming yourself? And just kind of give like a really concise answer, like whatever comes to the top of your head. We'll start with Amber and then Crystal and then Kittis just answering right behind one another. In what area are you shaming yourself when it comes to sexuality? Amber.
The fact that there haven't been too many opportunities for me to really have a dialogue authentically about it. There are some areas that I'm really ignorant about, and there are a lot of areas that I'm very curious about. So, my curiosity, I feel like, is shame because sexuality is so interesting to me. But there aren't too many areas outside of this circle that I can really have a genuine conversation about. So that's very shaming.
Okay.
Crystal. I think with me, maybe not fully understanding my own sexuality, not knowing it, and not really having a grasp of it, I associate shame with a lot of things. I just think ignorance in my own sexuality, I think, is what causes me to have shame or to not understand. I think it's the lack of not knowing or the lack of ignorance or the not the lack of ignorance, but the ignorance and the not owning and not taking ownership of it, and not knowing what to do with it, and not knowing what it means, what to do with it, where it goes, who it belongs to. I think that's what, for me.
Okay. Kittis.
I think I would have to agree with Amber in a little way. I'm unable to have a conversation around it. So I just, the whole idea of sexuality is very uncomfortable to me.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And for me, I think it's, I'm very comfortable myself. I just don't know that other people are comfortable. So it's not even so much I remember being younger and talking about things about sex and sexuality, and because either it was something that my friends either weren't doing or were doing but didn't feel comfortable saying, you know, then it was like, oh, so yeah. Okay. What ways are you shaming yourself in one of these areas? Just pick one. Work, finances, health, mother or daughterhood.
I say work and health.
Yeah. Amber?
I would say health more so for me than work.
Okay.
Did you want us to explain why?
No, well, just going through quickly, we're going to expand.
Okay, yeah.
Go ahead, Crystal.
Okay. We have to pick one?
Yeah, work, finances, health, and mother daughterhood.
I would say finances.
Okay. Kittis.
Work.
Work. Okay. I would say health for sure. So, ladies, we're almost out of time, and I definitely want to thank everybody for being on the call today, and for continuing to follow us on this journey for Her, the New Queen. For those of you all listening, if you have follow-up questions, if you'd like to stay connected with us, find us on Facebook at Her, the New Queen, on Twitter at Her, the New Queen, and that's Queen spelled with a K, and also on Instagram as well. And each month we will be doing Talk to Me Tuesdays, so make sure that you tune in, stay connected with us. Upcoming events that we have, if you have not seen the production of Her, the New Queen, we will be having a screening on October the 20th. And let me just pull that up. October the 20th, we'll be having a screening of the actual production, and you can come to the Blackburn Digital Auditorium, October 20th, 7 p.m., and it's sponsored by Swing 5 Swing Social Fellowship Incorporated, in partnership with the Taylor Jeff Kale and Princess Beth Speaks. And also, so once again, that's October 20th at 7 p.m., Blackburn Digital Auditorium. So make sure that you join us there. Follow Her, the New Queen. And just in closing, ladies, as we go out, what one piece of advice do you want to leave women with to release their shame? Amber.
Find effective ways to cope with it, whatever works for you.
Crystal?
I would say whatever your shame is, you're not alone. You're not going through it. There's somebody else who has experienced it, who knows how you feel. You are not alone.
Kids?
I would say, I think, I don't know if I'm piggybacking on Amber, but fully understanding the shame and the origin of it.
Boom. And I would say that don't take ownership of shame at all. Be shameless, because as a Black woman, historically we have embraced the word, and I think that we need to totally bury it to find out who we really, truly are. So I would say don't even embrace that word or take that word on as you. We want to thank you once again for listening. Big shout out to Diversity Theater Company for continuing this journey. Be sure to follow Diversity Theater, follow Her the New Queen, and don't forget to tune in once again next month in October, which is Domestic Violence Awareness Month, and we'll be talking more deeply about more historical origins and more liberation for Black and African women in the diaspora. I am Hip Hop Mama, Princess Beth Speaks. Thank y'all so much for listening, and join us here again for Talk to Me Tuesdays. All right, ladies, love y'all.
Peace.
Love you,
love you too.